what's written in there. Just me personally, I don't get a lot of knowledge in some of the areas. It's just me. I stay ignorant in certain things on purpose. But it's just me. It's not that it's right or wrong. Okay, Patty.
We're back.
We're back.
Amen. Question or comment?
It's probably both.
Okay.
Okay. And if tears come, don't think, I can cry when I'm happy, I cry.
That's
when I'm
fine.
Sad.
You don't have to qualify your emotions. You're free to be emotional.
It's, I have that heart.
Amen.
However, now this is, like I say, I don't know if it's a comment, if it's a question, if it's where are we at, Terry and I.
Okay.
Okay. Like with Terry, I'm using him for an example. He's a guinea pig. He's had diabetes probably now since he's been 40 years old. And the diabetes is not just, you know, a little diabetes. We're talking it's starting to affect his body.
Oh, diabetes can be.
You know, and he's had it for, you know, so many years. And, you know, we're talking shots, we're talking pills, 3 pills a day, 2 shots a day. And he can get up in the morning and say, oh, my sugar's 300 and something. You know, but this is a man, you don't hear him complain. You don't see him waver. And Martha, God had Martha say that before him, because I'm trying to think, what else do I want to say about this? He has such integrity and such love for people that sometimes I get aggravated. I mean, I didn't know how else to say that, because we can be in the store, I turn around, he's gone, and here he is helping somebody, you know, or I'm in a store shopping, and he's taking the carts away.
Sounds like you're shopping with Jesus, Patty.
I believe so. But here's a man that, like I told you yesterday, he knows you're thirsty before you do, you know, and he does so, not that he's a works man, because he doesn't do it to be lunatic.
No. It's a genuine love. It's a sincere integrity. Sure.
Exactly. And so, I mean, here's a man with bad diabetes. He's had, well, it's been a little while, but open heart surgery. You know, he had this knee replacement. He has this aneurysm. He has these cataracts. I mean, I don't know. And it's like, I guess maybe, but you never hear him say a word. He wouldn't be sitting here. You know, it hasn't really moved him.
Which is awesome.
Which is good, but nothing's changing.
Let me just comment on that too, quick. Because when somebody does that, we make that extraordinary because we're not used to it. When it's really should never be an option. Character and integrity should be a given. Loving not our own life in the face. Here's what Patty's saying, and I can let me interpret what you're saying and correct me if I'm wrong. What struggles us so much is, why is this happening to such a good man? He's so like this, and now we're seeing him go through all this, and it just bugs me because he's certainly not obviously earning this. And it, to me, it's obvious that we're in a war. There's spiritual things going on. One of the biggest things I hear when good people go through hard times is that right there. It's never a works thing. It's always a grace and mercy thing anyway. So the only reason we're protected is because of the blood and name of Jesus, not because we've been good men or women, because we've all needed the blood. So as integral as you are, we've still needed the blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God. People say in churches, well, yeah, but if so-and-so, they're the most godly person I know, if they didn't get healed, you can't tell me it wasn't the will of God to take them and stuff like that. We talk like that because we're taking natural knowledge, assessing it analytically, assessing it. We just have to be really careful with that. Here's what I know. It's not works. You're not earning because of your character and integrity. I watch people pray over people. They say, God bless this man. He is such a good man. You know how he helps this, and you know how he does this, and you know how he does that. And it's as if we're healed because of our works. We're healed because of the blood and body of Jesus. So what we have to be careful is to glean and learn from his integrity and thank God for the man he's built him to be in that way. Okay? And not let it attach to what he's going through, but let the mercy and love of God come upon him in that way. Because if not, you're going to take it personal because he's your husband, you love him, and you're watching him go through stuff. And you feel like he's a whole lot better person than you are most of the time.
Yeah,
down in your heart.
Sometimes it's through him.
I understand. So, and it's like, and here he is going through all this, right? So do you hear though the empathy, the sentiment, the emotion that gets all tied up in all that? It just reveals we're in a war. So we're growing in understanding in an area to walk in a greater way of victory, protection. Diabetes is one I use as an example. If you have, that's a daily awareness of a problem. Who knows what I'm saying? Even if you've never experienced or been around people with diabetes, who knows what I mean? Diabetes is a perfect example of something that you have to walk through if you're not seeing it change. And you've been prayed for and we've been praying or something. And you have to wake up with the reality of symptomatic diabetes, right? That's where you get this relationship, God's love, blessing, and staying in that place you're defining him is huge. Huge. And God, I thank you, and you speak life over your body. You bless your body. Don't curse your body. You bless yourself. You speak life. Thank you for your love for me. Because diabetes is an everyday reality that you're facing. It tries to come and conflict against your ability to commune, walk in relationship, and receive grace in that area, if that makes sense. In time, you can just, well, this is the way it is. You can throw that off. You can fail to do certain things. Or some people, here's what I see people do. I'm just going to share some of the things I see people do. They start hearing there's a possibility of healing. They hear the gospel. They hear, they think, wow, maybe I could be healed. They make a mad push for healing for a season. It's like we got a tank full of gas and we go for it. And then when we run out of that gas, we just kind of, oh, well, tried it. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's not something we're going after. It's a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith isn't something we're trying to get a result. We're not even praying because we have a need. We're in relationship with God. And I do my best to be over and over at the risk of redundant to share that. I have watched us use the gospel to get help, use the gospel to get healed, use the gospel to get blessing, use the gospel to get money, use the gospel to get my marriage fixed. That is not what the gospel's for. The gospel is so we can enter back into right relationship and fellowship with Almighty God and be His kids. And in that place, there's a finished work called redemption and restoration that can come into my body. In that place, there's a place for me to have faith to lay hands on the sick and pray and believe and receive. Amen? So you have to be very careful, Patty, that you have the ability to honor his integrity and separate the trial and all that from that, because you'll get into works. You'll think he's the least one that deserves this. Why is bad things happening to him? It'll make your heart hard instead of in faith. You'll get angry instead of being a place of blessing. You see what I mean? You got to let that work to the good and be able to believe for him all the more because of the beautiful man that he is. You see what I mean? Rather than let it, why does this have to happen to him? Well, this shouldn't even, well, it's warfare. It just, to me, it means we're in a war. You see what I'm saying? No, you didn't come across that way. It's just you love him and you know his character is amazing, and it can try to touch you in a frustrating way. Because there's obviously been a list of physical things over the years. Sometimes, I've used this as an example. Sometimes the most, who's noticed that sometimes the most precious people that you've met go through the most serious physical things sometimes? Do you think that's a coincidence? Wonder if it's, we haven't really understood. Wonder if things are taking advantage spiritually of us in the flesh because of all the diverse teaching, all the experiences out there. Wonder if whatever's coming through the cracks is because it can, whatever. Wonder if we just need more understanding. Wonder if we just need more understanding. Isn't it amazing that some of the most God-fearing, committed, and loyal people that we've met have some of them have we've already lost? Do you know that? I know that to be true in the 16 years I've been saved. I've heard about it. People say, well, yeah, but so and so. And then here's what they do. They build a theological case on that scenario. And when you meet them and start talking, nah, don't bring that healing thing to me. We know Sister Sally, and there ain't nobody. She was like Jesus in the flesh. She was so loving that, but that doesn't mean she understood anything about God's will to heal? Do you know some people accept things? Some people deep down in their heart believe that somehow God is sovereignly involved. Some people believe it's their calling for a reason, or God's using it as a tool to teach. All those things could come into play. I wonder if we're getting taken advantage of in certain areas, and we're good people in God. We really want to do right, but we don't understand some things. And wonder if things are just striking based on that. Wonder if it's that simple. So in all our getting, get understanding. Because we're being destroyed for the lack of... It doesn't say we're being destroyed because we're bad people. You follow what I'm saying? How can we live by faith if we don't know what to put our faith in? Wonder if we just start getting driven by need. Wonder if the enemy can come and press our life in such a way that the only reason we're reading this is to get help instead of know him. Are you following what I'm saying? All these things are a paradox, and they don't help us in the good fight of faith. You follow me? Because you could get confused, frustrated. You could feel like, been there, did that, done that. Didn't work for me. Why do people draw back? Because what they tried didn't work. Why do people change their mind? Because they never got established in truth. The Bible says, let your heart be established, for the coming of the Lord is near. It's in Timothy. What it means is, don't let your heart be flip-floppy. Don't let circumstances dictate your belief. Don't be one thing one day and one thing that. Let your heart be established. Settle on truth, because Jesus is coming back and time's short. So settle on truth. So wonder if we settle on truth in the face of physical affliction. We still settle on truth. And then from that place, wage a good warfare and maintain an identity that receives a grace in our life. Perfect example is what you shared about the cataract thing. So we pray for the cataract. We don't see it disappear. Ugh. So know it can. Would love to see it disappear. Can't stumble over, why didn't it disappear? Well, we're just going to continue in faith. We're going to keep our integrity. We're going to worship Jesus. That's your nature. And now his eyes are doing better. His eyes doing way better than they ever expected. We can learn from that, guys. Because we're not stumbled over the fact, well, why didn't it go away? Well, we prayed, why didn't it happen? Well, we believed, you preached on healing, why didn't the cataract leave? Just contesting faith all the time. You see what I'm saying? Instead, keeping your heart integral. Here he is, watch. Here he is laying yesterday, resting his eye. Don't forget his water. He told her. Come on, that's amazing. Did he do that, Linda? Don't make sure you don't forget his water. Now watch. He could have been sitting there going, man, this eye feels so scratchy. Wonder why that cataract didn't go. Dan's praying, he's teaching on healing. And yeah, healing. Cataract would have went. God, it's not always God's will to heal. God's will to heal them. Why didn't he take care? All of a sudden he doesn't care if I'm thirsty. I'm just making a point. All of a sudden, he could have a whole lot of other things going through his mind. He could be feeling scratchy in his eye, feeling pain. Why didn't this work for me? Isn't that what people do all the time? There's people in this room that can relate to what I'm saying because you've done it. There's something about staying in the game. There's something about letting your heart be held up high in integrity and honor, proving that you love not your own life unto death. And it's not about what you received and didn't receive. It's about who he is and who you are in him and continuing to grow from that place. All of a sudden in that place, all of a sudden the vision is way better than they expected. Boy, that sure beats the vision being worse than they expected. You see what I'm saying? So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you hearing me? That's the word of God. Rejoice always. Well, I wonder why I didn't get healed. Oh, other people's cataracts disappeared. I wonder what's wrong with me. Why didn't God heal me? Well, see, if they saw cataracts disappear before, they had to have faith when they prayed because they already saw them leave. So if they prayed over me in faith and it didn't go, it couldn't be God's will. That's how we start rationalizing and speaking. Well, the disciples saw miracles and they should have had faith, and the epileptic boy wasn't healed and something was wrong, and Jesus addressed it and still healed the boy. And I guess we ought to follow Jesus. We're back to the drawing board. Let's just follow Jesus. Do you see how in trouble you can get if you run your mind too much? And start valuing your opinion apart from God's message through His Son? Because I'm telling you, that analytical way that we've been taught to think and be, we inherited that when the serpent was talking to Eve, by the way. God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. It's when she listened to the devil long enough that what he was saying made sense. Come on. Because when she first answered, she said, oh no, yeah, we're not supposed to eat the tree. Yeah, the day we eat the tree is the day you die. Oh, you're not going to die. What do you mean? Well, God just knows that, see, and when you eat, your eyes, and well, then you'll be like God, and you'll be just, and you'll know that. She looked and saw, man, there's nothing wrong with this tree. What's the fuss? It's good. What was forbidden became good because she listened to a voice long enough and made rational sense out of it. Are you following me? We do that in our minds a lot. Situation like this, I'm just using you for, as an example. He could be sitting in his chair, disappointed, questioning healing. Well, Dan's seen several cataracts disappear. He prayed for mine. Why didn't it disappear? Well, he had to have faith. He already saw them disappear. He knows that God takes cataracts. I never saw one disappear, but he has, and he prayed for me. In fact, the class prayed, two or more touching anything they agree shall be done. Whatever we ask believing, it shall be done. Felt like I was believing. I don't know why it didn't go away. I don't know about this healing stuff. You follow me? Now our experience has a louder voice than Jesus' life. And now our mindset has a louder voice than Jesus' words. Now we're in deep trouble again, that's for sure. If I embrace that mindset in any trial I've been through, sometimes more so in what I do because I preach this thing every day of my life and minister. When my wife's in trouble, and I've seen other people's wives healed, now my wife's in trouble, you could take that personal. You could say, you could pray and not see anything change because I was praying for my wife. And you could all of a sudden in your heart say, man, this is ridiculous. God, come on. I see other people's wives healed and saved. You got to save mine. You got to heal mine. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you? And all of a sudden I make my conversation with God when He's given me the kingdom and told me to go in His name. Why am I even talking to God as if He's responsible? Who's carrying the kingdom? So why do we have so many conversations with God as if He's somehow sovereignly responsible? That right there proves that we don't understand. He gave us the baton. He put the ball in our hand. That one thought right there reveals that we aren't established in a revelation. Because we make it about God all the time. God, what are you doing? God, why didn't you heal? God, where are you? God, I've been praying and praying and praying. When are you going to move? God, if I'm doing anything wrong, please show me. And all of a sudden, as soon as you start on that track, you're introspecting, you got uncertainty, you're double taken, you're going to get your mind in derision. You're going to reduce yourself to a method. You're going to be just quoting principles, trying to get answers. I want you to see something. I know I got a lot of hands going here, because this is a wonderful. I appreciate you being that vulnerable and talking like that. It's healthy. It's good because what she's sharing, we've all felt at times in our life. True? Yeah. True. So it's excellent. It's corporate. It needs talked about so we can bring in the right perspective. These two just got married. She got really like tested when he went away for a day. Just a day, buddy. I know, but in a day. It just took a day, honey. I know five, but in a day. She said, he was going all night. I mean, I know I was with Jesus, but Anthony wasn't there. I said, oh, it was like, now watch. She loves him. I do. You do, don't you?
Very much so.
She does. And if he was going through a situation like she's talking about, with him, it has some ramifications, some temptations, and some trials to the soul, to the emotion, to the empathy, to the sentiment side of life, because you treasure your husband. So to see him suffer would be like crazy difficult, maybe. Some people, so much to the point where now they're mad at God, because why are you letting him suffer? As if God's letting him suffer. So now they make their beef with God instead of taking their sword and shield and fighting with everything God gave them through Jesus. Now they're turning and actually accusing God when he gave us the weapons of warfare that we're to be growing in. And now we're turning wondering where God is because you love your spouse so much. God, don't you see them suffering? God, why don't you move? That's what people do in those situations. And if we'd really listen to the word, I did move. There's a sword. It's in your belt. It's in the holster. Pull it out. It's called the word. Continue to believe. Don't let your experience dictate who I am, please. Don't let your experience dictate who they are. See them through my son in the finished work. Come on, get out the sword. Hold up your shield of faith. It'll quench all the fiery darts. It'll even keep your soul protected from misidentifying the enemy in this. You see what the gospel's saying? Come on, I put armor in you. You are a soldier. Stand and fight. Don't turn and look at your captain as if I led you down a wrong road. I know where I'm taking you. Fight. Not with me. Fight. You following? Because we do that a lot. I've learned we do that a lot. Especially when it hits close to home in our emotions. And we find out just how much we covet our lives and we're using God for a better day. God forbid, when I'm going through severe witchcraft and pain, that my wife's sitting, he's a good man, you can't let this happen to him. And God forbid, I'm thinking, yeah, I am a good man. What are you doing, God? I don't know of any consciousness of sin. I lay down my life for people. I answer the phone all the time. God, I give almost 24/7 myself to everybody. You think you could watch my back a little bit? Are you following me? God forbid I have that mentality because I'm going to get crushed by the devil. When Paul and Silas is in prison and their backs are hanging open for preaching the gospel and wanting to save lives, thank God they're not sitting there thinking, God, you think you could watch our backs? There's trials, there's testings. There's a proving of the genuineness of our faith. Wonder if God's sitting back like this, looking at us saying, oh no, I see what you're going through. I'm really interested in seeing what you're going to do. Because I've put everything in your hands and everything in your heart so that everything is in your mouth, so that everything is in place. I've made you my kids. You're my team. You're my warriors. You're my army. To look to me, Moses, what are you crying out to me for? Raise your staff and split the sea. That's Old Testament. We're in a New Testament with greater glory. Moses gets him to the shore and it sounds pretty triumphant. He says, watch and see the Lord your God in his hand. And he says, hey, Moses, why are you crying out to me, buddy? I gave you authority. I put it in. Remember the rod? Remember the whole demonstration? How about if you just raise that over the sea and split it? He's pointing to Christ in us. He's pointing to a day where we're walking as priests and kings under our God. We're not waiting on God to move. God has moved through his son. He's like made the most major move on the chessboard and it's your move. I got this vision ever since I've been saved when I get into a real precarious trial or a place. I don't have the vision anymore. I used to get it. I'd get a vision of God sitting on a throne, this being. I can't tell you what he looked like. That's what I said before. Facial features. But I'm sure he looked a lot like me. Because he's my dad. But I would see this, I'd see, and I knew in this vision it was God on a throne, but I could see his arms crossed. And I could tell his face was looking down. It was just a childlike thing. He knows how to relate to each of us. And it meant something to me. He was high and lifted up. I saw the Lord. He's high and lifted up. And he was looking down, and I'd hear this in my heart when I was in the middle of the trial. He'd be looking at me, and his arms were crossed, meaning he's not doing anything. And here's what I would hear him say, and I had this experience many times for about a year and a half, 2 years. So what are you going to do? In other words, he's saying, hey, don't look to me. I put myself in you. I gave you the initiative, the authority, the power. I said that you have power of life and death in your tongue. You decree a thing, it'll come to pass. And we're complaining. You decree a thing, it'll come to pass, and we're in fear. Power of life and death's in my tongue, and I ought to speak life. Sometimes just the questions we ask reveal we don't understand for sure. And wonder if Satan's taking advantage of all of that. Even in the face of good character. Now, am I putting fault on him or us? No, I'm saying let's keep growing to show ourselves approved. I want you to see something quick, real quick. Ephesians 4, and then I want to go back to Matthew 10. I know I got a lot of questions. If we catch up on them tomorrow, fine, right? I feel like I have to get a little bit of these scriptures here going. I really took a lot of questions today, so please be humble and understand I'm doing my best with that. It's actually neat that I just felt in my heart way back in the beginning of the school last year to give a liberty to ask questions. But right now I feel like we just need to get a little bit of word under our belt here. There's giftings in the body of Christ in Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It doesn't say to build a conference around them so they can minister to the church. Yeah, absolutely. I've said it on tape a lot. That is not why there's giftings in the body, to build a conference around to minister to the need of the people. The gifts are anointed to what? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that is not just reserved for collecting offering, ushering at doors, and doing what it takes to run the Sunday morning ship. As much as that stuff's important, and there's a help there in children's church, even at this church, there's a beauty to the local body. It is the will of God to have a local family, a local congregation. And however you can pitch in and help and let the hand and the foot and the elbow and the wrist all become one and fulfill the mission of God within the house, that's important. But there's a great marriage between coming and going. We come to be equipped to go. There is safety, there is protection, there is nourishment, there is in the body. The local body has the great, I can't get teaching on that right now, but it's the work of the ministry is broader than whatever it takes to pull off a Sunday morning. There's a bigger picture of church family than Sunday morning. Right? But who knows, there's need on Sunday morning, and who knows, you can get needs driven and you can just try to make the ship run. And I remember being in a setting where it was just, we were so inundated with need, we're always just pushing to get helpers and volunteers, and all, it's almost was like compulsion and condemnation. Look, you want to come to this church, somebody better pitch in, almost is the way it feels at times in a lot of churches. No, it's family. So we lay down our life and we give ourselves to one another for the help of the whole. Why? For the edifying of what? The body of Christ, the building of herself up. Now watch. Look why these giftings are in the body of Christ and what the equipping is. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Why? Because we're not there. Let's just be humble. We're just not there. So watch. And the knowledge of the... So we're to be teaching knowledge through the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God, right? Who knows how easy it is to get on Bible topics and just have Bible study and teach entertaining subjects and never learn Christ. I am zero interested in Bible topics and just having Bible study to cover topics. I want to know the Son of God so He's in there flowing through me. Now watch, I want you to follow this. Till we come to the what? Knowledge of the Son of God. Look, to a... perfect or complete man. Man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing. Yeah. If we were already there, that wouldn't be written. There'd be no gifting in the church if we were already there. We're always growing, right? So if we're not walking in the fullness of the anointing, the full stature of Christ, that means the full measure of the outpouring of the anointing of God. Did Jesus walk in that?
Yes.
Without measure?
Yes.
Is Christ in us?
Yes.
Are we called to follow Him?
Yes.
The things He did we're to do, if we believe, right? So the reason we train and equip is to walk in the full measure of Christ. Is it possible since it's written? Did God write this and then He's holding back on us? So if He wrote this, we should be pursuing this, true? So Jesus' experience should be mine, right? So I need to pursue Him until it becomes mine. And if it's not, I still pursue Him. Because the truth doesn't change. My experience is subject to change. Are you guys following me? This is huge. We better get this. So why do we meet and gather and teach and equip and train? Till we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God through the unity of faith. We all see the same thing. We're all pursuing the same truth to the full measure, synergism, one track mind to the full measure of Christ. Look, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Do you know where the winds of doctrine come from? Analytical minds, human intellect, human reasoning. Human psychology, that was my next phrase, that's right. Come on. We start thinking long enough that we believe our thoughts because they're so make sense. They so seem right to man. Yeah. The way that seems right to a man. The longer you think, the more you value your opinion. And find the ability to think in the face of God's word. The way that seems right to man has caused more destruction. And then we turn in a level of pride, not willful, not usually even known and realized. We turn a level of pride and accuse God. It's amazing. If we were in the full measure of the stature of Christ, would there be gifts in the body and would we even teaching and training? Here's when we know we're in the full measure of the stature of Christ, when His experience is our lives lived. When we touch and they heal. When we speak and it happens. When you meet a lady in the mall and she's crying and says, yeah, but you don't understand, my daughter is so vexed. She has got schizophrenia, she has this, she is on stuff, she is so vexed and I am just so... Listen, we're going to speak right now. Your daughter will be fine. And at home, the daughter goes, is that in your Bible? Did Jesus say we can do that?
Yes.
And I could tell you off the top of my head, probably 10 cool stories just like that right now. But that is not my everyday experience and it needs to be. So even though I've seen it, it needs to not elude me or be reduced to gifting. Thank God for gifting. Gifting is when God supernaturally comes upon you and puts you in a position that you wouldn't be in if He didn't come upon you. In the sense of awareness, speak some vision, bam, and now you have a faith that wouldn't have been there if He wouldn't have. We tend to lean on gifting instead of cultivate faith. And we limit the miraculous to when God moves in gifts. Well, it's just truth. I've always talked that way. It's straight. Do you believe Jesus moved in gifting or revelation? He moved in every gift in the Bible. Why? Because Holy Spirit, they're all in Holy Spirit. But He's one with Him. He moved out of security, identity, and revelation. Jesus moved out of revelation. He was the Word made flesh. He's the revelation. So that means we're going to move. We're not relying on the gift. We're moving in revelation. Thank God for the gifts along the way. I'm not making second besting the gifts. The gifts are amazing. They're awesome. I can tell you some beautiful stories with gifting. But if I'm relying on the gift, they don't seem to come at the degree of the need around us, do they? Why? Because you're not called to rely on gifting, you're called to live by faith. And you're called to walk in a revelation of Christ. And when there is somebody moving in gifting, the need is so great that that gifting gets flooded and stormed. And if that gifting would go from city to city, you couldn't hold enough people in the meeting places because everybody's coming to come under that gift, when all the while Jesus is Lord and He's the Christ in us. And then it actually teaches us that we have to go to a certain place at a certain time because God's moving a certain way. And He's already moved through His Son. So I'm not demeaning gifting. Gifting is awesome. Something like you see through Benny Hinn and his ministry. It's awesome. We ever had a Benny Hinn service? Man, it's beautiful. And the presence of God and the corporate and the whoo and it's yah. And we were sitting right near wheelchairs and I just watched people get up that day. I just bawling. Oh, it was fun. To a complete man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind and doctrine. There's also other motives out there. It's trickery of men. There's cunning, deceivable. There's ulterior motives. There's stuff. There's people that have said the right things. Send in your money. We'll send this anointed thing. There's crazy stuff. It's a shame. Okay, because I want to get back to Matthew, but watch this. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. There's a difference between speaking the truth in love and just speaking it because you think you're right. Make sure when you speak that you know in your heart that you're speaking in love, that you're caring for the heart of the whole, and that you're not just pushing issues. You know how easy it is to get hurt and get on a tangent? Do you know there's a lot of people use the authority of a pulpit if they're not careful to push agendas and issues? You have to be very careful in your heart that you know you're not doing that. Platforming. It would be sin for me to platform an issue and subtly address an issue with intent from the pulpit and use the authority of the pulpit to prove a point subtly in my heart and try to get the strong amen from the corporate congregation. That would be sinful. When you're behind a pulpit, you say what God's saying, and you preach His word, period. And you know you love people, right? Now that you have to be a steward of in your own life. Because nobody knows your heart but you. And I'm not going to try to figure it out. I tell God, man, that's one thing. Don't even show me people's hearts and motives unless it's so absolutely necessary, because that is one fine line. When you start telling people what motivates them, you better not be wrong. Or it will make you presumptuous. You'll be in judgment. You understand? Well, you're just this. Well, I think, I've been watching you long enough. No, you can't tell me that's not in your heart. You think this, you feel that. That is a scary place. Don't you dare go there with people. Okay? Okay, so we're speaking the truth in love. Why? So we may grow up. What are we doing? Come on, be humble with me. We're growing up. Why? Because we need to. We're maturing. We're growing up. Would He write this if we're already grown? Would He provide the gifts and the anointing and the teaching if we're already grown? We're growing up in what? In all things. Into Him who is the head. And He is Christ. And we're not going to be tossed by doctrine. We've covered this many times in the school, but I need you to real quick go to Colossians 2 real quick. You there? I'm getting there. As you therefore have received Christ, verse 6. Jesus the Lord. How have you received Jesus? In faith, good girl. We receive Him by what? Do we receive Him because we felt ishy-gushy? Because lightning shone upon us because a light came in our room and said, follow me. I'm Lord. You have to believe most men's experiences, the just live by what? Faith. And even if you have that experience, you have to continue believing, right? Unless he do that every day. It's funny how we lean on feelings. I was four months saved. I was at YCF, 4 months saved. We had a speaker come there, Warren Hunter, and there was this thing going on, and we were at service. He left, and there was, you know, everybody was having fun when he was there, and we were calling it revival. I think looking back on it, people were just having fun and being ministered to. God was just encouraging and strengthening hearts and getting people back in hope and stuff again. And it was just an assessment of mine being a pastor there after a while. But what happened was, because we were so riding the wave and enjoying the fun and the feelings and the ooh and God in the house, that when he left, people got depressed because they felt like, well, he left, now it's over. And we were missing the point. I was only 4 months saved. I'm sitting in my seat, and Pastor Jack Cashman was leading the service as the head pastor, but the worship was in, but it was like a funeral parlor. They're singing like this most awesome song, and it's like, bleh, in the house. Do you remember that? And I'm 4 months saved, guys. Serious. I'm like, somebody needs to change a diaper soon. Something. That's how you think, 4 months saved. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, Dan, people are deceived. They got their eyes on the man. They think I left in the van and I'm here. They got their eyes on a person and not me. He said, but I'm here. I'm in all of you. He said, I want you to get up and adjust the people, bring it to their attention, and then I'm going to move through you with power. Go tell the pastor. And I'm like, yeah. I already knew that this was so not fair, seemingly, to the pastor. I'm 4 months saved. Now I got to go put the pastor in the position of asking him, telling him I heard the Lord. He wants to move with power. People do that to pastors a lot because they get the touch, zealous, they hear things. But when you do that, I just said it to Jenny on Sunday. She came over, she went to the pastor, said, wait, he came up, moved. Jenny came over and stood, shared. I said, you just protect your heart because he's in authority. So whatever, even it doesn't, if you heard God, great. But how he handles it, you just need to honor it. It's up to him. I've seen countless people get a word from the Lord, they believe, tell the leadership. The leadership doesn't respond, doesn't give liberty. They get hurt and go home. That kind of response right there gets me to question if they really heard the Lord. I just don't see God setting his kids up like that. I believe we feel like we hear, we have impressions sometimes, but when you have the ability to get offended because the leader didn't, then it's all about you and your word, and it's not even about Jesus. And you have need in your life. Because why are you offended? What do you think, God's sitting up on the throne crying because you didn't get to share your word? Oh, I wanted to minister to my people, but the pastor wouldn't let me. He has the way to get the word out. He can put it in the pastor's mouth. Come on, he spoke through a donkey. He can speak through anybody. So we just got to be careful with this stuff. So now I go over to the pastor, and here's what I said to him. I said, Pastor, man, I'm just realizing that everybody's kind of bummed out here. He said, can you tell? He said, yeah, it's really something not right. It's kind of bleh. I said, well, the Lord showed me that everybody's eyes are on the man and that they think God left when the van pulled out. And God just told me in my heart over there that he's here and that if you would stop worship, he's going to move with power, but you better make sure that's God. That's what I said. As soon as I told him that that's what I heard, I said, but you better make sure that's God, because you're the shepherd here. And you better make sure that that's God. Because I was hoping he didn't stop the music. Yeah, I'm 4 months saved. So I go back over to my chair. I'm like, meh. I'm a little sheepy, you know. And I sit down, meh. And I'm sitting there. And Pastor Jack gets up and he used to walk here, his eyes closed all the time. He stops the music. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he stopped the music.
I think he's going to tell the people what I said. Call me up there. I'm so afraid, you have no idea. I'm sitting in my chair. I'm 4 months saved. 4 months. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I put my hands out and I got real spiritual postured right away. So I put on spiritual posture. Because I need to be spiritual in a minute. And in my heart, I said, Lord, I believe you told me this. I mean, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. You're telling me you're going to move with power. I told Pastor Jack, I was obedient. Now I think he's stopping the music and I think he's calling me up there. God, I don't even know what to do. You better come. You've got to come. I just lean on you. And as I'm talking to him, I'm like, it sounds desperate, but it was a very humble thing. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. You got to do something. In my elbows, on both hands, this vibration started. It went, and I went. And it came down my forearms into my hands. Right when I was talking like that, I'm sitting there going, and I'm going, oh my God. I can't even tell you what it did to me, the confidence, the feeling, the overwhelm. I'm sitting there going, I knew God was real a minute before that, but I'm going, oh my God, you are so real. He was more real than he was a minute ago. Did you ever see a paint shaker? The old fashioned, that's how my hands felt, but they weren't moving. They weren't doing, I wasn't doing this like people, you know how they'll, they were still as could be. I'm looking at them, they're still as could be, but they almost hurt. They were vibrating so hard inside, they almost hurt. And now I'm going up to pray, and now confidence and boldness comes over me because I'm like, God's with me. I thought, this was the Lord. I get up there, you know. You're just ready now. It's God. He's the one encouraging. It's not arrogant. It's not presumptuous. This is you, God. He backed it. Why? It's like, all this is grace. See, we misunderstand it. We say, well, don't pray for the sick until you feel the anointing. We teach that stuff. Teach ourselves to live by feelings. No wonder we're in prayer lines asking to feel the love of God all the time. Shame on us. We cater to sensuality and we're supposed to live by faith. All this is a pat on the hiney to a little child. You can do it. I'm with you. That's what this is. Who knows that all that I'm feeling, whenever it signifies, is already in my spirit in Christ. This is just a form of grace. You know how you're teaching a kid something and you pat him and say, go ahead, honey, it's okay. No, you'll be fine. Go ahead. Now get to it. That's all God was doing. He's patting his little four-month-old. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. That's all he was doing. So I go out there with my Pampers on in the spirit. Got my big old binky. But guess what? God's with me. So now I'm not just a four-month-old. Kingdom of God's in me. I don't know if you remember that day. Huh? But we just, boom, chopped up the lies, then God moved. Prayed for a couple people. I got back to the last person I was going to pray for. Two people were back there. I was going to pray for about first things. I called some people out. My arms were vibrating so intensely that it was starting to feel like it hurt. It was distracting me. There's lessons in all this stuff. I turned. I'm ready to pray for two people. I turned and I said, and God was touching them in a dramatic way. Like I was afraid to touch the first lady the way my hands felt. I didn't even want to touch her. Because my hands felt, it was ridiculous. And I was afraid to touch her because I didn't know. I was just afraid to touch her. I pictured her head going poof. I just was afraid. I was like, this just seems to something. I turned. I said, Lord, I know. Watch what he said. I know you're here. I know you love us
And I can feel the whole shift in this atmosphere. But this is like almost hurts. It's distracting me. I don't need this right now to pray for them. This is extreme. It's like, oh my gosh. And as soon as I'm talking like that, I went, whoop, totally gone. Instant. Whoop. Now watch. So I turned, and the reality of now I'm going to pray for them, but that feeling wasn't there. I was almost like, is God going to move? I just told God I don't need this, and as soon as it was gone, it was so powerful when it was there, and the feelings are so powerful, and your faith is in line with the feeling. Now I turned without the feeling, and I had to pray for these couple people feeling like, is God even going to move? I actually had to step by faith, even though God just had me like a buzzsaw. And I can honestly tell you, that is how dependent we are on feelings. Because there I am. You think I'd have just turned after what I said and just prayed and God would have just flowed. And I actually had a trepidation about me feeling like God wasn't going to touch these people in the way that I was proclaiming because I couldn't feel Him. And of course He did. And I was like, oh my God. I used to get like that for a long time when I'd pray for the sick. And one time it stopped, and the Lord had talked to me about leaning on my feelings. I went and did a conference for 3 days on believing God at a church and what it means to believe God. And at the end of the 3-day thing, I said, I want to pray for you guys. It was an impartation kind of thing. If you're really hungry, I want to just believe. We're going to release us into a life of faith. Da, da, da. Who's determined that you're going to live a life believing God after these 3 days? And da, da. So I set these 3 days up. This is the last final altar call, right? The whole church is, there's a bunch of people there. They're all piled up. They're sitting ducks, guys. They're so hungry. They're like, God, I want you tears. I just want to be a believer all the days. And I told them I was going to lay hands on them. And normally, when I would go do that, I would turn into this buzzsaw. And I go to the front to pray for the first one, and nothing. Nothing. I feel like nothing. I mean, so nothing that nothing. Like God's somewhere way out there. And I started walking the front, and I started saying things I say in my bedroom when you're not there that really stir my heart up. And I started doing this, walking back and forth, saying all this stuff that gets me, like hooks me up, and all them phrases we use. Nothing. I make about my third pass, and I figured God was sitting there thinking, well, Dan, you're going to wear out the carpet here if I don't talk to you soon because you're waiting to feel me. He said, hey, Dan. And I'm walking through, and nobody knew I'm talking to God, you know, and I'm like, yeah. He said, what do you believe? I'm teaching on belief for 3 days, having an altar call. I'm the anointed man of God that's going to impart to him, and I'm waiting for a feeling. And God was like, he did it on purpose. I'm talking, I felt like he wasn't even nowhere near. He said, Dan, what do you believe? I went, whoa. And then by faith, I just began to touch and pray for people. That was a wild setting after a while, but I don't need to get into the whole story. But isn't it funny how I'm preaching on faith, calling them into belief, and then I'm relying on a feeling? Stuff will humble you. I was like, this thing is subtle, and it seems to have power. But 2 months after that experience, I wasn't feeling God at all when I pray for the sick, at all. I was driving home one day and I said, Lord, why don't I feel you when I pray for the sick? He said, Dan, it's a grace. It's just a grace. He said, I've removed feelings from you because you're caught over and over living by them and dependent on them. Now watch what he said. I've removed them from you at this point in your life so that you minister unlimited. That's what he said. I'm thinking I'm limited without the feeling. He said, the feeling and the time could limit me if I lean on it. Because who knows if I'm not feeling Him, He's still Lord. If I'm not feeling Him, He's still yes and amen. If I'm not feeling Him, He's still amazing. And the feeling can actually in time limit you. If it's just a pat on the hiney in the beginning, fine. If you keep it in right perspective, fine. I still feel God all the time when I worship, when I sing, when I teach, when I preach. But when I go to pray for the sick, zoop, nothing. Isn't that amazing? And I could care less. Because He's still Lord. I just knelt down, didn't feel a thing over there with a lady on Sunday and prayed, and she felt the bones move in her feet. and a pain left that hasn't left. And I didn't feel a thing. Don't have to anymore. You just pray. You believe. You receive. Amen? It's important. We chopped our time up here. I never did get in Matthew. It's not that we messed up. We just got on stuff. But that feeling, who did that help anybody with that feeling thing? Because I was a buzzsaw, guys. And I told God, hey, look, my heart's alive. I'm singing here, man. Let's go for it. But you could just, man, I don't need this. Okay. Just left. Like, totally left. Now I turned, in 3 seconds turned, and unbelief hits me. It's ridiculous. I hate that. And because that's a challenge and that's such a reality, we'd just rather always be buzzsaws. That would sure make it easy, wouldn't it? If we were just always just all buzzsaws. So let's line up for the buzzsaw impartation anointing. No, let's believe Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, you're in trouble if you're laying by your dying spouse's bedside and you don't feel like a buzzsaw. You better know He's Lord. And you better know He loves. And it's not like the leper. I know you can if you're willing. Most of us know He can. But if you're willing is what stumbles us. We need to know He can and is willing. And He'll do it through our spirit. It's to the glory of God through us, exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. And ye are the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. I promise you guys, we're waiting on God and He is waiting for us to understand who we are. I'm convinced. I want to read this real quick and we're closing. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How'd you receive Him? Did you receive Him like a buzzsaw or did you come to Him by faith? See, even if you had a real dramatic encounter, I mean, I had a dramatic encounter when I got saved. I still had to come to Him by faith, right? I still had to pray out initially, didn't I? Faith is what founded me, right? Now watch. So I have to walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in who? In Him. Established in the faith. Oh, as you have been taught. That's what we're working on, aren't we? I don't know that we've all been taught the faith, right? So Paul knows who he's writing to and he knows he's been a good teacher. But that's what we're working on, right? Abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving, not complaining. Now watch, beware lest anyone, I know we covered this weeks ago, but watch this. Beware lest anyone cheat you, take you captive, hold you plunder, take you prisoner. Through philosophy, empty deceit, according to just the way minds of men work. The tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. It's called the way that seems right. And not according to Christ. Come on. Beware lest somebody sell you into a mindset that doesn't come from Christ. Into a belief that doesn't come from Christ. Into an identity, a prognosis, a destiny that doesn't agree with Christ. Isn't that what it's saying? Now watch. For in Him dwells all, not some, all the fullness of who God is. And you, my friend, you are complete in Him. Ah, come on. That is so narrow. Do you hear how narrow that is? Who is the who? The head of all principality and power. Watch this. In Him you were circumcised with a circumcision without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You were buried with Him in baptism.
You're not a sinner. You were circumcised. You put off the sinful identity and nature. You put on Christ. You were baptized with Him and were raised with Him through faith.
Well, I don't feel powerful, brother. Well, I don't feel saved, brother.
It's through faith. Watch. The working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made you alive together with Him. He has forgiven you all your trespasses. He's wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. And He has taken it out of the way. He tacked it to the cross. He disarmed the powers and principalities that move through the law of sin and death. That's what that means. That came and made you reap what you sowed. They made sure that you reaped what you sowed. I'll tell you what they're trying to do now. They're trying to make you reap things you didn't sow. They're trying to make you reap things that He didn't sow. And that's why right before it tells you this, it tells you you need to see you're complete in Him. Christ rules. Your mind flows through Christ. Don't think anything apart from or outside of Christ. You are one in Him. You're in faith. You started in faith. He authored your faith. You keep your eyes on Him, looking unto Him. He'll finish your faith. There's so many scriptures that tie together there. And He disarmed. Look what He did. He disarmed any legal right for the enemy to just come and crush us. Well then, why am I going through this? I'm not totally sure. Unless Holy Spirit gives me a real clear reason, I don't go looking. I know one thing. Let's get back to who you are and why. And let's camp there and build a strong hold of God. And the wind comes to what? Beat against that house to break it down. What's it trying to destroy? You or what was built? It's trying to destroy what's being built. It's not after you, it's after the kingdom. He triumphed over it. This stuff is written so powerfully. If you read this straight through in text and go right into chapter 3, oh my goodness, you read 1, 2, and 3 of Colossians, we're out of time. Do you have a comment or a question? Yeah. Just Yeah, do it quick, because I am past time. I stopped all the questions in the second half. I wanted to get to some scripture. I just didn't make it, but.
Okay. I want to add this and insert this right into marriage, okay? Because you said a little while ago, and that's why my hand's been up the whole time. It's like this just melts right in. Okay, right before we got married, we were being hammered by the enemy, you know, why you want to get married, da-da-da-da-da-da. And we got married, and in the presence of that marriage ceremony, everything just broke, okay, while we were doing our vows. And it was physical hits from the enemy, there was flesh involved and this, that, and the other, and all the things of getting married and da-da-da. Okay, through the beginning of the marriage, the enemy started coming in, like you were saying about your wife and how the enemy blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Starts to put thoughts in. And isn't it funny how what thought would come in would be something he would immediately do, or whatever thought he would get, I would immediately do. Okay, and it almost got to the point where, you could see it, and it was so obvious, and then there was new strategies and new plans and things. But if you take this right here, what we learned today, and apply it to marriage, it will obliviate divorce right out of the water. If you understand the enemy, the thoughts, and how he works, and how he gets back and forth, and even the witchcraft that's involved in that, and I don't want to stay there, but I want to move right into the thoughts that come. What we say out of our mouths, how we perceive and how our perspectives are as each other, in a marriage. It got to the point where the enemy was so hitting me, and I was having nights that I didn't get any sleep because I would hear all night long, and if I did fall asleep, I would have dreams that would just, be the same repetitious thing of, and we've talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to share in detail what happened just a week ago before he left. That the thoughts and the physical attacks that we had, we would pray for each other. We would actually have the fun and the blessing of seeing it being removed off of each of us as we would pray and believe that that had to go. You know, it obviously physical attacks from the enemy, and some of them were pretty intense. Okay. And it was just fun to see him go. That the enemy, no matter what he threw at us, it just wasn't going to work. That our love is so strong. And we're, and in one particular night, it was so bad and so heavy that I kept, no matter whether I was asleep, awake, in a dream, the same repetitious thing kept coming. And I won't say what it was cursing and nastiness, but it was aimed towards him. And I sat up on the edge of the bed. And I just dug in, like I've been hearing you all along through the school and even right now. It's just so profound that you just got to dig in. And you can't make, you can't let your mind make you up. You can't nothing. The thoughts, the thinking, everything has just got to bow to this one place that you're in a covenant with God. Okay, and I sat on the edge of the bed. And in that moment, I just began to, I didn't really war or anything, although we had warred for each other in times. But I felt like what you were saying is, you know, God, thank you. And I began to say, God, I thank you for your Anthony. I thank you for your Anthony. I thank you for your Anthony. And I sat up on the edge of the bed, and I began to go over the marriage vows. And when I did that, it was like it became a courtroom scene on my side of the bed, and I saw all the demonic forces that were responsible for all those attacks. And all I said to God was, I made a covenant with you, and I'm staying in it. And this thing of wanting to hit us, or even the thought of divorce, no. And as soon as I did that, I love you, God, I'm in covenant with you, this thing's for life, unto death. Bam, it was gone.
Right.
It's just,
you have to take a stand for truth. That's what this, that her testimony is. When something comes that relentless and that unmerciful and just keeps pounding you to where you can't, feel like you can't sleep, it's all the more reason to respond all the more aggressive in truth.
Actually, actually that morning, I fell asleep for about 1 hour, and I heard a door slam on this side of the bed. Anthony heard God put his foot down on his side of the bed, and I heard a pop in the spirit.
Right. Those are perceptions and discernments. They're the things that was her revelation. That's just something she can relate to. God does that stuff. You don't have to hear the pop in the spirit. I'm not demeaning that. What I'm saying is that's the stuff. That's just personal. The point is, when Satan goes bam, 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 who's ever had something repetitiously just pummel you and your mind? It's because he's intent on establishing that thing as truth to you. And it just shows the intensity of the war we're in. Right? What we tend to do is magnify how intense it is, and the devil won't shut up. And I just, well, yeah, but I can't even sleep, brother. That is the wrong approach. The key is you respond all the more aggressive in truth, because truth's your victory. Amen? So it's not about what you're hearing. It's about what God said. So that's what I got out of that. Okay, let's stand to our feet quick. We're closed. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. You're building us up in faith. We just honor you. We stand in the honor of you right now and just honor you. God, I do believe you gave us a kingdom. Wanted to talk about it today. Got into a lot of questions. We could talk about it tomorrow. The cool thing is the truth will be the same. So Father, let us have ears to hear. Encourage and strengthen everyone's hearts. And Father, I thank you for the impartation of truth in our lives that makes us look more like you and move more like you and live more like you. I just thank you that we're encouraged and released in power and in love like never before. Let us have hearts that are strong, minds that won't change. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray for you, man, then. We're just done. You're all released. Come on up here. I want to pray for you.